Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Of course, Brandon Tadman in studio with me this morning. And now joining us in studio and also on the phone, we have Jim Carell from the ICC Fab Lab. And also on the phone, we have Brian Lawrence. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. Doing great.
All right, I was hoping I had you hooked up right there, Mr. Lawrence. It's good to hear from you. And you guys, I've been kind of, you know, talking about this morning, but not really giving it away because I kind of wanted to be a surprise of what you guys are doing. And a great thing you guys are doing over at the ICC Fab Lab is that you're working on making 3D. You're printing 3D reusable masks as substitutes for the scarce N95 mask that all hospitals need. And this is a great thing you guys are working on. And I'd just like to kind of ask both of you about that. How did this come about to start working on this?
Well, maybe I'll speak from my standpoint. You know, there's quite a maker community in the United States, and typically on social media, when some makerspace somewhere starts doing something novel with 3D printing, people start tagging me on social media. And so I saw that, even though Fab Lab ICC has been closed since we closed down the college until May. And so I couldn't figure out how to get involved. Actually, in the beginning, I couldn't figure out how we could 3D print a mask, which is typically soft material. And then I finally figured out we're talking about a framework to hold a mask. And I saw a video, I think just yesterday or the day before, of a doctor in Connecticut who had designed one. And I had wondered if the medical community would want to use something that was made in makerspaces anyway. Anyway, when I saw that the doctor had designed one, we got the design from him and made one. And I got with the hospital and arranged to take a sample by there. And so that's kind of where we're at now. Yesterday, we found out the engineers out at Coffeyville, John Deere Works, John Deere Coffeyville Works, were working kind of on the same thing. So we're going to be collaborating with them. And it's basically a way to 3D print reusable mask. And the filter material is fairly commonly available furnace filter material that's a tight enough fabric that it filters out virus. And so we are ready to make these. If the local healthcare providers decide that they would be useful, we will get just about every 3D printer in the county running and try to start turning them out.
And how long does it take usually to print out one of these masks?
Well, it's not fast. It can be 2 or 3 hours, but if you have a big enough build platform, you can do 2 or 3 of them at a time. But like I said, they're reusable if they're sanitized each time. So once we get caught up, it's not a real fast process. But the other good thing about that is that we can tweak the design very easily. So if we decide that a breathing surface needs to be a little bit bigger to let more air in, then we can make changes to the design as we go.
And Mr. Lawrence, are you still there?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence, again, I appreciate you coming on this morning. He is the CEO of the Coffeyville Regional Medical Center. And what I'd like to ask you is, what do you and your people think about these and other community members pitching in to help with this effort to fight the COVID-19 challenge?
Well, first of all, it's been just an outpouring from the community of support, people coming up with ideas and ways that they can support through donations of supplies, or going as far as Mr. Carell and his team and the team at John Deere have done to take their engineering processes and their 3D platforms to create something for us that could, you know, be reusable and replace a very much needed supply in the N95 mask. And so it's just been amazing to see the community come together, rally around this crisis situation, and make sure that we're supporting our healthcare system and being ready and prepared to care for those people that are in need, or should we get a positive case of COVID-19 in Montgomery County.
And it is a great thing that everybody's kind of pitching in together, to the community kind of getting together to make sure that everybody can stay safe on these. And Jim, you were talking about makerspace people. Can you just kind of give us an idea of what makerspace people do?
Makerspaces is a broad term to signify any kind of a community facility that's available for community members can come in and get a chance to use equipment that they probably don't have access to otherwise. So right now, that's the case of the 3D printers. Some people have them, and some businesses have them, like John Deere, but they're not commonly available to people in this area. So they come together and they make things, and then we are a subset of that in a Fab Lab network. And part of the Fab Lab network idea is that if somebody designs something that's useful around the country or around the world, the design files can be emailed, and that's what's happened here. We didn't design these masks from the ground up. We took two designs that were being used in other parts of the country, and we have similar capabilities. So that's part of the idea is in a Fab Lab, if somebody makes something cool that's useful across the society, that the design can be shipped to other people and they'll have similar capabilities and they can start making the same thing without having to start completely from scratch.
And back to you, Mr. Lawrence, as the CEO of a large regional hospital, can you tell us about the challenges for preparing for something like this COVID virus while many of the normal functions of CREMC must remain?
Yes, it's definitely been challenging, but I can't say enough about the team at CREMC. They have really amazed me of how they've pulled together, been very collaborative and very innovative in the ideas in ways that we approach in our preparedness for COVID-19, all while still trying to maintain and keep the normal business functions running, although in order to do our part to flatten the curve, we have curtailed a lot of that back right now. The team has just done an amazing, amazing job in what they have done to be prepared. I can confidently tell the community that, you know, your hospital is prepared and ready should we see our first positive case. And I think that's not if, it's when. And the team is prepared and ready all the way out to a phase 3 approach in how we will operate and execute our functions, not only to protect and care for those patients that come in and need care with COVID-19, but also protecting our frontline healthcare workers. And that's been, you know, one of the biggest things that I think has been discussed in the news media. That's why it's been so amazing to see groups like Fab Lab come together and figure out ways that we can ensure that we have the proper personal protective equipment to protect our frontline healthcare workers and be able to keep them there every day to care for our patients.
And I think go ahead, sir.
there's still other challenges as we, you know, see our elective business drop off just because people are encouraged to stay home. Limit their social interactions. So things that can be put off, that also becomes challenging as it affects our financial operations. And but every healthcare facility around the country right now is facing those challenges. And so we're trying to be prepared and proactive in how we approach that. But really, I just can't say enough about the team and about the community and how everyone's come together around this crisis.
And I think everybody appreciates those healthcare workers that are, they're working hard. I mean, it's essential that they got to be there. And so I know that those healthcare workers also appreciate these things being made for them that are reusable, because I know as of right now, those N95 masks have been extremely scarce and hard to get a hold of, correct?
So that is correct. And we tried to get out ahead of this a little bit. We did have a stock supply of N95 masks, but once we started testing people, you start to go through those supplies at a pretty rapid pace. And so we placed other orders. And give you an example, we were supposed to have a shipment come in on Saturday, and that shipment has now been put on back order, and they're telling us, it's probably not going to be here until September. And so being creative in ways that we can conserve our PPE, looking for other avenues like the 3D printing of the reusable mask. We've got community members out there sewing cloth masks that we can actually put over the N95 mask to enhance the reusability. And so it's just been truly amazing to see the community rally around this. And to have a 3D printed mask is amazing. I was holding it yesterday both the one from Fab Lab and the one that John Deere worked on, and just thinking about just the time and compassion that those teams put into that, and thinking about our frontline workers, really was very touching for me to see the thought that went in there, and then just to think that, you know, I can take this to a frontline healthcare worker and let them try it, and they can come back to me and say, well, I really like this or this, but if we could change this, it would really make this function better, and then be able to relay that information back to Jim and his team, I think will be awesome, and really excited to have that opportunity and to work with the Fab Lab team and Jim on that.
So getting the input from the medical workers, that's a big deal. And Jim, have you guys been in communication with those medical workers about, hey, maybe we could try this a little differently, or if this would fit a little bit better this way?
Well, this is all very new. Those masks that he's talking about were just delivered yesterday. So I think we're at a place now where we're waiting for them to get them in the hands of some of the workers and let them come back to us. Now, there's something, I don't know if we'll get this done in time for this this current crisis or not, but if we could figure out a way to measure people's faces, we could incorporate that into the designs. Now, the N95s, we wear them at the Fab Lab, and I've worn them before, and they're one size fits all, and they are disposable, so that part's nice, but it's really difficult to get them sealed up properly. And I'm really looking forward to working further on developing this design for us to use at the Fab Lab, possibly even where everybody could have a custom-made fit that would be comfortable. And just a quick aside, the respirators that, like, people that paint wear, the way they get the fit right is they use brute force with these huge straps, and they pull the thing so tight that you about have a headache after you've worn them 30 minutes. So I can see some application for this sort of basic thing, and that is kind of the magic of 3D printing, is that we could do 7 iterations of this design over the next few days easily, and you can't do that when you're mass producing things. So we can tweak things and get it just right, I think, over the next coming few days.
So, yeah, that would be very cool if you could. And when you do a custom thing, is that like a setting that can be like saved so that if, you know, that mask runs out, that you can create more for that, like, say, that certain person?
Right. And again, I don't know if that would be applicable for this situation or not. So we're probably just going to use the sort of one size. Well, I won't say one size fits all, because actually on these designs, there's like a small, medium, and large, and then in a male and female version. So it's not exactly one size fits all, but it's 6 sizes fits all, I guess. So hopefully out of those 6 choices, that everybody will find one that fits fairly well. But in the future, I could see that. And that just would be a matter of having some kind of a device to measure the face and then feed those coordinated dimensions into the software so that it could be incorporated into the 3D printing file.
So this is a great thing that everybody is working on. Like you said, you guys over at the Fab Lab are starting to work on it, but it's also a collaborative with John Deere Coffeyville Works, and also working with CRMC. It's just kind of just a big community thing that everybody's working on to help protect medical workers who, as we said, we do not have a positive in Montgomery County yet. But like Mr. Lawrence said, this is more of a when it's going to happen, not if it's going to happen. So this is a great thing. I think all three of you guys are doing it. It's a great thing that you're doing, and definitely excited about hearing about this. And you never know, maybe future collaborations on different kind of things, because 3D printing is a very, very cool thing that things can be made very quickly.
And I want to say quickly about the guys at John Deere. So Tim Haynes and I at the Fab Lab, we're just hackers. You know, so we're trying to learn as we go. Those guys at John Deere, they use this 3D printing all the time in manufacturing and prototyping. So we're looking forward to actually learning a lot from them, because we have 15 or 20 different machines to use, and then they use these 3D printers a lot to in their work out at the John Deere plant. So we're going to learn a lot from them in the process too, and we're really glad to have that collaboration started.
Well, Mr. Correll and Mr. Lawrence, we appreciate you guys coming on this morning and spending some time with us and letting us know what you guys are doing for the community. This is a great thing, and we're definitely excited about it.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Really appreciate the time. Jim, again, appreciate your team, and I look forward to what we can create out of this collaboration.
Yep. Me too. Me too. Thank you, Brian.
All right. That is Jim Carell from the ICC Fab Lab and the CEO of CRMC, Brian Lawrence, here today on the Mighty 690 KGGF. We are going to go ahead and take a break, but when we come back, we will have Fox News at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.